Our first storyteller is Ron Randall, and he came to us via his son-in-law, who told a story a couple of months ago. Since then, Ron has been a big fan of Arctic Entries, and we've been really grateful for it. We also know that he is a dedicated audience member who has been a supporter of his daughter and their friends for many years, so this is his chance to have an audience. Welcome, Ron.
Well, hello, fellow travelers. Traveling is something that I've always felt was one of those unique opportunities where you get to expand your personal envelope a little bit. So hopefully we'll do that tonight a little bit as well. I'm going to time travel you back to a time that's not really seen much anymore, and that's September of 73, a time when we didn't have cell phones or GPS or even the internet. So most of the travel was done on your wits and with any kind of luck with a map from AAA marked the best route in yellow marker. So this story starts in the mountains in California, a little south of Lake Tahoe at a ski area that I worked for called Kirkwood. And summer work hadn't really started as promised, so I decided to go back to Wisconsin for my mother's birthday. And on the way, I was going to stop to see my brother's football game in Minneapolis. He played for the University of Minnesota. So because I hadn't had much work and the gas prices had skyrocketed to the just obscene amount of 55 cents a gallon, I decided to hitchhike back. So I invited my two best friends, my Dalmatian and my Australian Shepherd, and packed my mom's gift in my backpack. It was an upright Hoover vacuum cleaner, all nicely boxed to fit in the backpack. Threw in a few bare necessities like dog food and water and a bag of Gorp. You know, we didn't have trail mix in those days. You had to make your own. And space food sticks. And those are the precursors of the energy bars that, you know, have been invented since then. So for anybody who remembers those, they were kind of like a cylindrical stick of rubbery chalk that was covered in aluminum foil almost. So anyway, to make myself look like the, you know, upstanding all-American boy I was, I wore my brother's old football shirt from Minnesota, so I'd maybe get a couple extra rides, and headed down out of the mountains into Nevada, followed 395 up through Reno, and then I-80 out across Nevada. Now, not much of that was noteworthy, so I won't mention much there, but I did run into another, I mean, as far as my trip. sorry, Nevada. For the story's sake, nothing happened. So anyway, I ran into another traveler. He was going to Colorado Springs, and he warned me not to go into Wyoming because it was illegal to hitchhike there. So he talked me into going the southern route down through I-70 and I-50 over to Colorado Springs, where he was from, and he said he'd promised me a hot meal and a shower and a ride up to Denver where I could catch a kind of a cutoff over to Nebraska and avoid Wyoming altogether. And again, no offense to Wyoming. So we did that, and this fork in the road took me into an unexpected, you know, adventures. So the first one was just camping out beside the road at the end of that first day, in a nice grassy patch overlooking this vast expanse of Utah, all bathed in this beautiful blue moonlight, and it was just the greatest outdoor sleeping experience I think I'd ever had. The morning we woke up and we realized why we'd had such a great, comfortable sleep is because there was no traffic on this part of the road. It was the beginning of I-70, and there wasn't anything but local traffic. So we spent all day trying to get a ride. Eventually, late afternoon, we got picked up by a rather attractive young woman who lived on a ranch down the road. And, you know, I think if it hadn't been for this whole entourage traveling together, you know, one of us might have spent more time in Utah. But anyway, we didn't. We got dropped off in this really narrow canyon, all baked by the sun all day, hot as could be. We'd already gone through most of the water we had. But by nightfall, we got picked up by an old guy in a pickup truck whose the back end of the pickup truck was filled with old auto parts and a couple baskets full of green apples he'd picked for the trip. And so he wanted company to keep him awake all night driving. So my partner jumped up in the cab, and I got in the back with my dogs. They were curled up under my legs. Somehow they sensed they needed to behave themselves on this trip, so it worked out great. So their warmth and my down jacket got me through the whole night, going through this beautiful scenery in Utah at night with a million stars above me and two baskets full of apples to eat. So That was a great experience. A little cold over Monarch Pass in the morning, but we finally got down into Canyon City by noon, and unbeknownst to me, Canyon City is a prison town, and we weren't going to get a ride out of Canyon City to save our life. So the guy we rode with was going to do some business there. He said if he still saw us on the highway later in the day, he'd pick us up again. So we tried our best for about 3 hours, didn't get a ride. I went over to a little restaurant to fill up my water bottles and use the bathroom. And on the way back out, I looked out, and here's my buddy jumping in the pickup truck, taking off down the highway without me. So after I gathered myself together, I got back on the road, did get a ride actually fairly quickly out of town, made it up to Colorado Springs and headed north to Denver. And now, I didn't have a cell phone, so I wasn't able to call this guy and get better directions about this cutoff. So I ended up going all the way up to I-80 by Cheyenne. And when I got there about daylight, the place was littered with bodies. I mean, there were at least 30 other hitchhikers out there. Nobody was getting a ride because the state troopers were issuing tickets. So looking at the seedy condition of some of these guys, I decided to walk the 5 miles into Cheyenne. And when I got there, I found a place in the road that kind of looped around some construction, and I could see the troopers coming so I could avoid a ticket, and put my dogs in the shade, started hitchhiking. Now, I did attract a couple rides, but when they backed up and saw those dogs, they hit the gas and took off again. But I did get one guy to stop in a brand new Cadillac, navy blue with a white leather interior. So I walked over and I saw that, and I just said, oh, hey, we've been traveling, we'll mess up your car. He said, no, come on. And I said, no, really, my dogs are dirty. He said, no, but don't be ridiculous. So we jumped in the car, took off, went out to the panhandle of Nebraska with him. He turned off on his way to his oil wells that he had invested in. But there wasn't much else out there except the oil wells. But while I was standing there for the next few hours, I was looking across the road at a little town. Now, this is down in the fold of the terrain, and there was just a clump of trees and a green elevator, a steeple, probably a couple taverns, and a post office, and that was about it. But I just sat there imagining all the things that might be going on in this little community, because I'd come from a small town in Wisconsin myself. So, well, I finally tired from that. I walked up another couple miles and found an on-ramp where I did get some traffic. Finally got a ride into Sidney, Nebraska. And there I really hit a lucky ride, because there were a couple girls driving a Camaro all the way to Chicago, and they were willing to fit me in the little space they had there and like the dogs. So we had a great time going across what's normally a rather boring Nebraska and Iowa. So they dropped me off in Des Moines about 10 o'clock that night, had a straight shot from Minneapolis. I could make my brother's football game in the morning. And I got busy getting a ride, and actually attracted a trucker with an 18-wheeler pulled over, even with the dogs. So I thought I was home free, going all the way up. Well, about 50 miles down the road, all of a sudden there's this blat, 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 blat sound. I looked over at the guy and he said, oh, sorry, buddy, I just blew my engine. So I'm out on the road with my thumb out again, and luckily did get one more ride that took me all the way into Minneapolis, even dropped me at the university. It's too late for the game, but I did get to listen to it on the radio. But kind of the end of this story that's interesting is that when I had a few days to spend with my brother, I picked up In Cold Blood. It's a book by Truman Capote. And this is about a couple parolees from Kansas prison system that decide to rob a farmer outside this little town in Kansas. When they find out he doesn't have any money, they murder him, his wife, his two teenage kids. I mean, it was a bloodbath, this mass killing. And that's not the interesting part to me, but what was interesting is it was set in a little town in Kansas. It was just identical to this one that I'd been looking at in Nebraska. So this whole story just came alive to me. I finished that book, you know, straight through. I don't think I even had anything to eat. So I thought it was an interesting end to a rather interesting trip. It was 35 rides, 1,500 miles, with two dogs and back in a vacuum on my back over 7 days. So, thank you very much.